This was in 2016 where I started training Arjun Rampal, I think, at that point. And it was for a periodic film. I'm a coach. I'm a self-improvement coach.
But how do you make heroes? Like,
see, now, how do you make, if you and me knew the answer, we would be billionaires. Like currently, if I'm training, say, Alia Bhatt, Kriti Sanon, we have multiple celebrities who come train with us. It does give credibility to us. My grandfather says this, who is 93 and he still works out every day. It's a shame for a man who has never experienced what his or her body is capable of in their lifetime. Learn to say no. But our aim, obviously, at this point is to put India on the map in terms of fitness. There is obviously a prenatal, you train a specific way before pregnancy, and there's postnatal as well. So you're training a specific way after you deliver as well.
So yeah. It's a myth that 9 months you just have to be on bed and you don't do anything.
Absolutely, like I know.
So till what month can you train?
5 minutes before delivery.
Hi Karan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
I want to understand, why did you become a celebrity trainer?
So I'm a coach. I'm a self-improvement coach, and it's nothing specific for anyone, but this journey started in 2016. This was while I was playing football, and I had a fitness setup at that point. And I continued that. I continued playing football, but at one point, I realized that maybe at this point, I need to focus only on fitness. And I think we've been doing good work, honest work. We've been changing lives, transforming lives, and that's the reason, I think. We're working with production houses, we're working with celebrities, we're working with athletes at this point. And we are very result-oriented. We are result-oriented in a way that we want to not only change you aesthetically, physically, but mentally, and change your lives as well.
This transition happened from football, like you mentioned, right? The last you were playing was for Kerala Blasters in ISL. Yeah. So when you were at peak, why did you leave?
Not an easy question to answer, but yeah, I was at Kerala Blasters. This was the Indian Super League fourth season, and at that point it was a forced decision, to be honest. I had already started a fitness setup, not the one I'm currently at, which is the Tribe. This was another fitness setup, and I thought I could manage both, but to be honest, I had taken massive loans, and it was on my grandparents' house. They were kind enough to let me take a loan on their house. 2 years I thought I could do it, but after the second year I realized I had to come back, because massive EMIs, we know how it works. And it needed my full attention. And if you're playing football professionally, which I did for 16 years, you get maybe 20 days off a year. So it was not possible to do both. And it was a forced decision, and that's why I had to.
What, according to you, is the reason that till 2025, football hasn't reached the same level as cricket in the country?
See, I'm very happy for cricket, and I'm very happy where cricket is. I don't like to compare. But talking about football, I think we have reached where we are getting better year by year. What needs to change, if that's what I can say, is finding talent at the grassroots level to create good systems and to learn from countries like the United States, China, who are winning medals, who are doing their best. If you see in the Olympics, they have a system in each city, in each district, in each area. So they are identifying talent at the age of 8, 9, 10, maximum at the age of 11 or 12. We never know. Now, there could be an incredible football player in Pondicherry, Andaman and Nicobar, in Punjab, and we'll never find out. So, yes, we have the most populous country in the world, but we need systems, and we need a good structure at the grassroots level to identify talent at that very early stage.
But I think it's a vicious circle, right? Because there are a lot of opportunities. We have state level, we have boot camps, national camps, when it comes to football, as well as rugby and many other sports other than cricket. But people don't either want to get into it, or they feel that after some point there's just no growth in it. So like, either they are like, it's a passion for them and that's the reason they're going, or they just have to drop out even though they have talent. That's because after a certain level there's no exposure. So how is that going to change?
So, you know, our country is specific to following legends, heroes, which is a great thing. So now if you speak about cricket, like you asked earlier, you have Sachin Tendulkar, Virat Kohli. In football, you have one Sunil Chhetri, one Baijung Bhutia, correct? You need 10s and 20s and 30s of them. Once we have that, when you have something to look forward to or to look up to, like a Sunil Chhetri now, you need one Sunil Chhetri maybe in every team. And that can only be done at the grassroots level, where we have a very strong system where, you know, at a very early age in schools and colleges, you identify talent. When you have 20, 30, 40 heroes like that, that circle will be cut off. There will not be that vicious circle. You will have children from all kinds of backgrounds taking up football, kabaddi, or any other sport without having to think twice of becoming a doctor, engineer, or any of that path. Yeah.
What is the one thing from your mistake that you would advise the young children right now who want to be a footballer that they should focus on or shouldn't focus on?
Learn to say no. You know, whether you're young, whether you're old, you need to prioritize yourself. Learn to say no when it doesn't work, when it's not in your favor. It's not about being arrogant, but it's about prioritizing yourself and keeping the longer goal in mind.
Let's maneuver a little bit towards your fitness career. Whenever I speak to people, you're very popular. They always say you're a celeb trainer. I've never heard you use that word. But do you think like that comes with like a sense of connotation that there's a celeb trainer? Does that make a difference?
I'll tell you, it does come with a lot of credibility. Now, those people maybe have not seen the work that has gone behind. I mean, the last 10, 12, 14 years, because speaking about fitness, I've always been very passionate about fitness since my football days. I was doing my exercise science while I was playing football as well. And once I started training clients, when I started training people, once they saw a change, of course, when you're attached with the names, like currently if I'm training, say, Alia Bhatt, Kriti Sanon, we have multiple celebrities who come train with us. It does give credibility to us, but there's a reason why they're coming to us as well. There's a reason why we're able to not only change their lives, but able to, when we're working with, say, celebrities, we have to be very specific with how they look. Every role is different. Every movie is different. And once we're able to give that to directors and producers, then you get that tag.
Yeah, how did you get your first gig with a celebrity?
This was in 2016 where I started training Arjun Rampal, I think, at that point. And it was for a periodic film. And that happened through, I think, word of mouth at that point, because I was training people, I was taking group classes. And he had heard that, okay, there is an ex-football player who's a coach now. Mm-hmm. And he had reached out to me.
There's this whole gap, I think, where when it comes to celebrity training and the generic population training. We just feel that the celebrity training is too far-fetched. Mm. Do you think that there is a difference, or is it just the same and presented on social media differently?
See, it depends what goal you have in mind. When we speak of celebrity training now, when we work with production houses, I could be called up and a producer will tell me that, you know, abhi 3 mahine mein isko bulk dikhana hai, 3 mahine mein we have to have abs. So when you have a goal in mind, the human body works very differently. Whereas if you're just training, the gap is there. But if, when we at the tribe, we're training clients as well, we always want to give them a certain goal. For example, it could be as simple as lower your fat percentage. Correct? Now, when you talk about celebrity training, at this point right now, it's the word. I would say that some celebrities, I would not take away the discipline, because a lot of celebrities, they are honestly with their food, their sleep and training, along with shooting 12 or 14 hours a day, they're as disciplined as athletes. So you see that change. And that kind of training, I would say the common person gets very inspired by when we hear the likes of, say, Akshay Kumar, Tiger Shroff, Varun Dhawan, Alia Bhatt, Kriti Sanon, Deepika Padukone. You want to be like them. Now, they have also put in a lot of work that has gone behind that. And when people come to us saying that I want to look like that, then that training is done a particular way or a certain way.
Training is a part of their professional job, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the reason
they get paid for it.
The reason why people don't understand that.
Correct.
They feel like their professional life and their fitness life is different, but the celebrities, it's the same. So what's this one misconception that you feel that Indians have regarding fitness?
One misconception. I'll talk to you about women first. You know, it's women should be strength training. Okay. A lot of women have a misconception that if I strength train, I will look manly. Mm-hmm. I want to break that misconception. That's not going to happen. It will help. It will support your bone health. It will help you in longevity with your skin, your hair, your nails. Strength training is super, super important. And when it comes to men, at this point, you know, specifically in India, your legs are your foundation. I would really recommend everyone, not only men, women, to focus on training your lower body, because I was just reading an article the other day, is that if you have stronger legs, it's also related to a healthier and a longer life.
is there a connection between food and workout? Is there something like that?
Because it's together.
Yeah, like how does it work? Sometimes people say it's like 30-70, the food is 70.
I believe it's 90-10.
Okay.
You forget the common man. You see athletes.
Yeah.
Nobody trains as much as athletes, right? You speak of Sunil Chhetri, Virat Kohli, Djokovic, any of them.
Yeah.
They are training, like say football or tennis training, 2-3 hours a day or 4 hours a day. Apart from that, they are already, why are they going to the gym? They're already training, but they are spending that amount of time in the gym as well. Along with that, they're spending time on sleeping on time. They're spending time and money on eating the best food or the right food, because you have a longer, better life and a career. Even for the common man, food is super important. It's 90%. If you are going to not eat right and eat well, you're not getting there.
So post-COVID, what are some things that you feel everybody should avoid and everybody should focus on to have a healthy life? Because everybody, like our age, we're all having like dementia and knee pains and everything.
Correct.
And already like late 20s, early 30s.
It's your routine. It's about consistency. It's about, there's nothing magical that you need to do. It's about following a routine in your, whatever your professional life permits. Whether it is eating clean, you do things that is in your hand. Can you eat clean? Can you avoid sugar?
Can you define clean?
Clean is, I mean, it's basic. Avoid sugar, don't, we all know it. Avoid sugar, don't eat too much. I think we're the only species that eats more than necessary. You see any other species, you see the lion, tiger, they eat and then they rest chill for 7-10 days. And they live their maximal life that they can live. It's the only us human beings where we eat more. When I say clean, it's avoid sugar, avoid fried food, all the basic stuff. You don't need to do anything fancy.
Mm-hmm.
And train every day. That's important. Very
sounds
important.
Very simple.
It sounds simple, but we need to do it. And along with training, we should honestly also focus on giving time to our mind. We don't spend enough time with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like even if that's 5 minutes a day, sitting in silence and just doing a bit of breathing, that goes a long way. I would say do it at the start of your day. Because a morning routine is very, very important.
What's the one life hack that you think that Indians, if they follow, they would have like a healthier and a better lifestyle?
I think not just Indian, it's for everyone. And there's no hack. It's
okay.
A lifestyle. Your hack is your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, see, I believe in a very strong morning routine. And I know, like for me as an example, I'm doing, say, 2 jobs at some time. So I know my mornings at a lot of times won't be a 5 or 6 a.m. That's absolutely fine. Get in your sleep. But whenever you say you wake up, first couple of things to do. One, drink a lot of water when you wake up. Please get into a cold shower when you wake up, especially in the city that we are in. Try to read at least 10 minutes in the morning. Do some movement in the morning, even if it's like, say, 3 minutes of skipping, get a couple of push-ups, you know, squats. And the fifth most important is sit in silence for 10 minutes. Visualize, do breathing, whatever that is. But if we do these 5 things, on a consistent basis, I think that can help us in our personal and professional life as well.
I want to understand now your personal life a little bit.
Yeah.
You started the tribe, right?
Correct.
And you also started it while you were doing football.
So I had another fitness space when I was playing football. And the tribe started after I left playing football. The tribe started in 2019. And my last professional match was in 2018. But I was already into fitness 3 years before that. It was another fitness setup. It was another gym that I had. And that shut down in COVID.
So you had a lot of opportunities to become an actor or go into the film industry.
Not at all. Never.
I mean, in Bombay, I assume that everybody has that opportunity.
Misconception. No one has that opportunity. You can want to become an actor, you have 300 people standing in queue. There's no opportunity and I never even thought about it, to be honest.
Okay, so this idea behind the tribe specifically, what is your aim and why did you start it?
So, like first it was passion driven, but then obviously passion does not pay the bills. So along with that, it is also something that we want to create for the country. At this point, I feel there's so much potential in India. We started training people virtually and we didn't know we wanted to do this professionally, to be honest. And in three months, we got into 17 countries very organically without spending on marketing. This was in COVID. We had clients from, I think, all continents that I can think of. And then we realized, okay, you know, we're doing something right. If we can do this virtually and we're able to change lives virtually, why not do it in the city that we're in? But our aim, obviously, at this point is to put India on the map in terms of fitness. Mm-hmm. Right now, we speak about the United States or we speak about Europe. But just to create that awareness, I think that awareness is so much important, not only about fitness. We have a holistic approach. It's about your training, it's about your nutrition, it's about your mental health. So it's a very holistic approach that we take towards training, yeah.
Like you said, US, Europe, like I live in Germany and I think the problem with me is that compared to them, I'm always lazy. Because they're always running or on the cycles, like bare minimum. Yeah. Like even a 70-year-old man, you'll see driving a cycle. So that's a part of their culture, but this is not a part of our culture. Like probably enjoying eating sweets, celebrating festivals, that is something we resonate more with. So how do you think that you can get in such a long, like centuries long culture, and how do you want to change it, or do you want it to go side by side?
No, I think it's already changing, to be honest, because even if I speak about my dad or my granddad, they always, like, they are Punjabi, so they say that main sair pe ja raha, which means I'm going for a walk, correct? So, but I'm seeing that change where at our generation now people have started going out for runs. Mm. Now, that change is a slow change, of course, but I think that awareness is coming in, that awareness, especially after COVID. I think after COVID, the awareness for fitness has really increased. And people are honestly thinking about themselves a bit more now, about what you put into your system, about getting some kind of movement every day.
When it comes to emotions, do you think men and women physically deal with it differently?
Absolutely. I think men keep it inside, to be honest.
Yeah. Do you think that comes out in fitness in some way? Like, have you seen emotional...
No, that's why women live longer. If you see, women live longer because women...
Express.
And there's a scientific reason to it. Yeah. When you keep your emotions inside you, you build a stress hormone called cortisol. Mm-hmm. So when that builds up, after a point, it's not good for you.
Okay. As someone who's been in sports, tell us, why should we be in sports in India still?
I think everyone should be, I'm not saying professionally, every one of us should be playing a sport. Mm-hmm. Any sport. You see, currently, pickleball, paddle, picking up for one reason, is that it is directly proportionate to longevity. Mm-hmm. Strength training is important, but along with that, if you do play a sport, you're in a controlled environment. When you're playing a sport, the environment controls you. So you're reacting to something. Your mind-muscle connection is getting better. You're enjoying it. You're sweating all your toxins out. And I'm not too sure about the documentary on Netflix, but I saw some documentary and it says that if you play a sport, you have a very high chance of living up to 100 years or even more.
Are you still in touch with the football fraternity?
Absolutely. So I told you, like, you know, I'm working on different, I'm commentating and I host shows as well in terms of football. So whether it's the Indian Super League, Champions League or any other league that's happening. I am part of that, and that's the reason why I am doing it. One of the main reasons is it helps me stay connected to the sport.
You do it in Hindi as well, right?
Hindi, yeah. English both, yeah.
How did your Hindi become good? Because you're also from Maharashtra, where English and then Marathi, and Hindi is not very common.
I'll tell you very honestly, my first day, it was at Star Sports. I walked in and I met Atish, I met this another co-commentator, his name is Raman. I met them on the first day, and I just walked in, I got a call that, you know, this is what it is. I didn't know what I was doing, whether it was an audition. And I first walked in and I see Harbhajan Singh, I see Virendra, I think Virendra Sehwag or Kumble, two or three Indian players. And they just gave you a mic and said, start talking. And I spoke something which I never want to remember, to be very honest. But I had a voice, I had a coach at that time, and I had my co-commentators who I was really learning from, and I'm still learning from, and I knew this was not my profession, but I think being in football, what helped me was speaking about the sport came naturally to me. But I would read a lot of Hindi newspapers, watch Hindi news. When my friends used to go and play these leagues, I used to go and just talk in Hindi and do my own commentary. But it's been fun for me because, you know, I'm honestly getting paid to watch a sport I would anyways watch.
Yeah. So how do you see the next 5 years of Indian football? Do you think we'll get into FIFA at some point?
To be honest, FIFA World Cup is, if you're talking about that, we are far away from that. We need to first compete in Asia. We need to be in the top 10 in Asia, which we're not, to be honest, right now. So that is the first barrier that we need to break. And I think it's a 15-20 year project, the FIFA World Cup, which starts at the grassroots, like I said earlier on as well. Yeah.
Do you think there's a competition between all the sports that which one's going to fight and come on top, or can they not coexist that football is as good as cricket? Because like if you see England, they're good at football and in cricket. But like if you see, let's say Germany, they don't know the sea of cricket. So why can't we exploit that as well, especially when we were colonized?
See, I don't think there's a competition. I think there's a market for each sport. Now, cricket, of course, I would pray that cricket does even better than it's doing now.
Yeah.
When it comes to football, we have a lot of talent, and we see talent in, especially in the Northeast, Maharashtra, Punjab, North India, everywhere. There's a lot of talent in India. And nurturing is important at an early age. And for that, the infrastructure needs to be there. But you see, we are on top in kabaddi.
Mm-hmm.
In hockey as well, we are doing so much better now. So there is a market for each sport. I mean, there are so many other sports we don't know, we don't talk about. When it comes to the Olympics as well, we have so many companies now investing privately and publicly. But obviously, we need much more of that.
Yeah, even when we win, like we won hockey at one point, we came third, I think.
Yeah.
And then even in kabaddi, we win. But the point is, nobody knows like who the players are. It's not that popular per se. Do you think like there is something along with the infrastructure of sports that has to happen for the sports to become more popular?
Yeah, there needs to be a proper strategy. And I think with the kabaddi league that is happening now, or with the hockey league that is happening, that as that is being tried and tested, and you know, we as a nation, like we said, we used to have heroes. Now, I mean, you know, Dhanraj Pillai, you've heard those names. We need more of those heroes coming in now from hockey as well. Of course, if India does win the Olympics or does win the World Championship, at that point, there will be heroes that will be created, and that will create a pool of players. You know, when you look at players like that, you want to take up that sport. And that change is coming, to be honest. Yeah.
But how do you make heroes? Like,
see, now, how do you make... If you and me knew the answer, we would be billionaires. But you make heroes through a system and structure.
Okay.
And we see that with cricket because that's a sport that comes naturally to us. You play it in a gully, you play it in a building, you play it on a ground. It's similar with football when it comes to Brazil.
Yeah.
See, when you see Brazil, they don't have the best infrastructure.
Absolutely.
But it is a national sport.
Yeah.
Everyone is playing
that.
Now football with the younger generation coming in, we see football being taken up. But we still need to identify talent at a very, very early stage. It's the same infrastructure that I'm talking about. We need to look up to the likes of the US and China and how they identify talent in all sports. Why does the US have so many gold medals? Why does China have those many gold medals? It's that infrastructure that they have built at the university and college level where they know at the age of 12, he is or she is meant for gymnastics or swimming or whatever that may be.
Isn't it a cultural thing as well?
Absolutely a cultural thing. 100%. You see, you go to Australia, you'll be shocked with the amount of sports they play there. They're good at football, they're good at cricket, with hockey. They have the best medical facilities in terms of physiotherapy as well. The world's best physiotherapists, strength and conditioning coaches are coming from there.
Little fun segment. We want to know who's your favorite footballer.
My favorite Indian or all time? Cristiano Ronaldo for me.
And your favorite team?
It's always been Manchester United.
Oh, great. Yeah. Thank God.
It has been.
And your favorite cricketer?
My favorite cricketer is Sachin Tendulkar.
All right. And in today's generation?
Virat Kohli.
Okay, great.
And Rohit Sharma. I don't know who to choose.
Adore Alia Bhatt's work.
I think she's a... we see it from the outside.
Yeah.
But... honestly, I think she's a superwoman because she is working crazy hours. She's very involved with her child and she's a mom who knows everything about her kid. Plus, she gives time to training and she's crazy about her food. Like, I don't remember the last time she cheated on food. And to do that for one person is, honestly, I'm not just saying it, but to do that for one person is really, really hard. And... she makes it look fun.
Do you think that once women become mothers, they have like a different approach to fitness and life? And how do you think that can be changed? Like they generally just become into like a just to protect their child. They don't do anything else. They don't focus on themselves. They don't do training. And how, what is the different changes that come into their body? How do they fix that? Or how, like, how do they come back to their normal self?
See, so that is something which is very important, especially for mothers before conceiving as well. It is very important to train. Now, Alia did that before getting pregnant as well. She was training throughout her pregnancy. Pregnancy was super smooth. Post her pregnancy as well, she has been training. And that is an example for women in India, especially who are told to not train for 9 months at all or not do anything. I think that's very important, not just for your delivery, but also for your mental health in those 9 months. And there is obviously a prenatal, you train a specific way before pregnancy, and there's postnatal as well. So you're training a specific way after you deliver as well.
So it's a myth that 9 months you just have to be on bed and you don't do anything.
Absolutely. Like, I know.
So till what month can we train?
5 minutes before delivery.
Oh.
You can train, yeah.
That's new information.
Yes, you can be training till you conceive. Now, when it depends on your idea of training. When, you know, sometimes we think about training as something super hectic or anything, but it can all, with a good scientific approach and a good coach, you can have a measured approach. You should be training till the very last day.
So you're also a self-improvement coach?
Yeah.
Can you tell me how you got into it and what's your goal there?
See, it started with the ideology of how we started Tribe. So we wanted to build Tribe as a place where someone who walks in feels welcomed, feels the energy of the place, feels this is an atmosphere that they can grow in and build in. And that was something which we were very clear about creating from the first day. And when we speak about training, we focus on practicing a lot of gratitude. Now, when you are training, you're training for a specific goal, for your health, for you want to look a certain way. But we also want to practice gratitude, which is being thankful for where you are. It could be as simple as being grateful for your family, your friends, where you are in life. To notice that, to appreciate that. And they say that when you're in a state of gratitude, you cannot be in a state of anger, of fear, any other state. And that's proven. So we focus on these kind of things, yeah.
But how do you reach the state of gratitude when you have so much?
No, you have to practice it on a daily basis. So you have to practice that. I spend 5 minutes every day in the morning, or I like to do it after I train, where I practice gratitude in a way where I just close my eyes and I'm thankful and I'm grateful for where I am, or physically, mentally, in every way, in my personal life, professional life, financial life. And once you have that, once you feel that on a daily basis, you are able to be at your best, so you can give your best in whatever you do.
Well, I'll come to my last question now. Yeah. What is the one advice that you want to give anybody who wants to go beyond the border?
One advice. I think the most important thing at this point, what I've offered for me is, like I said earlier, I'll tell you a couple of things actually. One is to practice gratitude. That is something I learned when I stopped playing football, about practicing gratitude, because I was grateful for my journey, but I could still take what it taught me to doing what I do. So I think doing that on a daily basis is very, very important. Learning to say no where you prioritize yourself is crucial, because you're respecting yourself first, and to respect others first, you need to respect yourself. That is, I think, very, very important. But the most important advice is that I think every person who is born on this earth should take care of their physical and mental health. Prioritize yourself. That is very crucial. Because if you're not, you know, my grandfather says this, who's 93 and he still works out every day, that a man who has never, it's a shame for a man who has never experienced what his or her body is capable of in their lifetime.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
I had a great time. I hope you had a great time too.
I had a very good time. Thank you.
Thank you so much for staying until the end. To help us continue these conversations, please subscribe on YouTube and like and follow on Instagram and Spotify.